Inside Florida Racing.
Inside Florida Check. Racing.
Wreck him. Wreck him. Put him in the wall.
Inside Florida Racing.
Inside Florida Racing.
Inside Florida Racing.
Inside Florida Racing.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Inside Florida Racing. I'm CC Brooks, and in the studio with me tonight, he's back. It's Rob. Hey, Rob.
Oh, yeah, I'm
Bonehead.
Back.
Bonehead.
I'm back. Well, no, we're back on a Monday night.
And Jack is over there playing with poppy paper.
I haven't been anywhere. I've actually been here all this time. I haven't, like, been out of town. We've just had issues on Monday nights and a holiday, and
we just haven't seen each other in a while. I'm just excited to see you.
Well, I'm excited to see you. I'm glad that you could make it. CC, I heard you and Carol Brooks had a good time last week.
Carol Brooks? Carol Wicks?
CC Wicks and Carol.
Yeah, no, we have to, I have to clarify Brooks, my name. Yeah. I have to clarify what radio station I work. Carol puts that I work at Cat
Rob,
Country.
Rob, let us orient you here. This is Miss Cece Brooks, and Carol Wicks is our producer, but she's not here. Just remind, my name is Jack Smith, and you're Rob Bonehead Elting, and this is Real Racing USA Inside
Florida Racing.
Okay, you ready now, dude? You
Carol feel better? Wicks. Man, the one wrong word. And it gets that kind of reaction. No, I don't know. I don't know if anybody's even missed me, to be honest with you.
I've missed you. That's all that matters, right? Okay.
I haven't seen anybody out there say, where's Rob been?
Yeah, the cards and letters were pouring in, Rob. We just didn't bother to tell you about it. Yeah.
So who went to a racetrack this weekend?
I did. Got rained out.
CC Brooks.
I saw racing. I was up at DeSoto Super Speedway.
I heard it just looked like it got rained out there.
We were starting to get worried. There was the dark clouds coming. I heard that Charlotte, I made some phone calls down to Charlotte, heard they got rained out. But the clouds, they went right over, dropped the temperature, made it nice and comfortable. But we stayed dry and had good racing. TBARA, love it.
Talk about it. Let me hear about it.
29 cars.
So, yeah, you know,
fast and loud. They're awesome.
Fast and loud. Was there any good crashes or anything? Now, when I say good crashes, I don't mean like I'm excited about it, but, you know, they're
the
exciting
drivers
for the
walk
fans.
Away. The drivers yeah. walk away, yeah. There were a couple, both involving the wall in turn two, and hit the wall pretty hard, and, the cars, taken out for the night. But
did they tumble?
And Dave Steele, how did he do?
Dave Steele did not finish in the top three, and neither did Dude. Saw Dude and Dude Teach
Larry Brazil Jr. won,
and Blaze Martin was there, and it was a great
Who
show.
Won?
Larry Brazil Jr.
Okay,
yeah.
We're trying. Carol Wicks is trying to get in touch with him as we speak. She's been trying for the last few hours to track him down.
But they always put on a great show. It was everybody was really enjoying them, and also what I thought was interesting. Now they've made some changes to DeSoto since the last time I was up there.
They turned it a dirt track.
Well, in the middle they have this little mini dirt track, which looks like they probably use for ATVs or dirt bikes.
All right.
And then they ran the Magic Fours, which are the 12 to 16-year-olders, mm-hmm. and they're four cylinders mm-hmm. on the inside track there. Which kept them contained and safe, and they can't go very fast.
Did the motorcycle track have hills and jumps and
yes.
stuff? All right. What night are they doing that? He didn't bring out any motorcycles to run
no.
around that?
No, he's your motocross.
Well, it would seem to me, and Don, if you're listening.
John.
I call him Don because he's the Don. Yes. The Don, excuse me.
We thought you were still confused.
No, I'm not confused. He is the Don, and he knows who I'm talking about. Next car race that you have, get whatever the motorcycle racer is that's been coming there and doing good, call him up, give him $50.
Do an exhibition.
And tell him to come over here and jump, do the triple jump and crash.
Now, on lap 18, I understand there was a pretty big wreck in turn one involving Jim Alvis.
Not Jim.
Yeah, lap 18, the number 21. Yeah, we went to red flag. He hit the wall. That was pretty bad.
Was he okay?
Yeah.
Jim Alvis has been racing for a long time. Long-time racer. That'd be a good guy to have a guest on.
There was your wreck. That was the wreck you were looking for.
That was a pretty intense wreck. And then also, what it was Saturday night, they did hold the Richie Pops Thorben Memorial Race. And they had a lot of people there in matching T-shirts and purple ribbons. And the trophy was a big purple trophy for that event. And now I do not know who that is. That's before my time of getting into racing. But they had a big big event for him there. And also they did start off the evening with a moment of silence in memory of Freddie.
Oh, the man who died as a result of injuries.
Yes, it's Charlotte.
In the TQ Midgets a few weeks ago at Charlotte.
Really?
Yeah.
So they did that Saturday night as well as, just so what I kept track of, there was 9 cars ran in their Bombers class. They had 6 12 to 16-year-olds in the Magic 4, and there was only 4 in the open wheels, and surprise, surprise, of course, our friend, Rocket Man Wayne Jefferson.
All right, now we're going to come back to this here, but just before we go back into that, tonight we are going to have Rich Pratt on.
Okay, cool.
From and he's going to talk about, of course, the upcoming Powell Memorial.
He is an expert wheel man.
Literally, he's good.
You can ask him about that. And Ken Kenny from United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series is going to tell us how many 80, 90, 100, 120
Give
cars
are going to show.
We want to know how many cars are coming.
How many cars he's been having in his other shows.
Scotty Adema is going to be on, Sprint Car Racer. And Jessica Murphy is going to make her first appearance on
Female
Inside
Late Model Racer.
Female Late Model Racer. A lady race car driver who will be at Lakeland this week in the Goodyear Challenge Series. But now back to this thing.
Yeah.
4 modifieds, okay? Now, a few weeks ago, when we mentioned this on last week's show, basically it costs around $700 or so to go race your modified. Because you got to buy 4 tires at least. Mm-hmm. That eats up a big part of it. So I was a little stunned. I was shocked a little bit to hear that TBRA had 29 cars show up. That's awesome.
Yeah, they had a great car count.
Yeah, so they're continuing to come. But apparently the fan count was not.
Exactly.
From all indications, we've had 4 or 5 people who were there. Give me a
I'm gonna estimate
professional
it,
observers.
Yeah. I'm going to estimate it between 150 and 200 there Saturday night. And it seemed like a lot of them there were there for the Richie Pops Thorben Memorial. They were in their T-shirts and their purple the event. And it's sad because I'm sitting there in the pits and I'm looking over at the grandstand and I know we have this great race coming up with the TBARA, the outstanding
drivers.
The baddest
show in Florida.
I mean, they're fast, they're loud, they're entertaining. And I'm looking across the way at the grandstands and seeing the lack of fans. And I'm amazed. I'm really amazed and saddened and don't understand how tracks are going to survive this way.
And Rob, now you've been gone for a while, and you were off visiting the Racing Oracle at Delphi. What, fill us in. What's the deal here?
What was that? The what?
Racing Oracle.
Yeah, Delphi.
I don't know what he's getting at there, but I've been. You want to know where I've been and what I'm doing?
No, we want to know why in the hell there was 29. Monster TBRA cars, and there's nobody in the grandstands, and you got 4 modifieds. Last week, there was 5 showed up to race at Citrus, and this coming week, Bobby Deal is hoping beyond hope that he can draw 12.
All right, well, I'll tell you why the sprint cars have good numbers, okay? Now, the fan count, they can only bring so many fans, and they probably brought a good amount of those. Every one of the sprint cars that's out there cost a big money, okay? So those guys got plenty of money to go race these things no matter where they're at. So 29 sprint cars is a huge amount of cars showing up, but those guys got plenty of money, so the money crunch isn't hurting them. As far as the fans not showing up, you know, John always has been having problems with fans, and it's getting worse because if you don't have a job, you can't go to the you can't go to the races, you know. And
but, you know, I don't think it costs all. From, I was talking to a guy who's been in this sprint car thing for a long time today, because we went through the numbers with Wayne Jefferson and how much it actually costs an average guy to go race a modified. It costs more to go race a modified after you've got the car. Now, the car, obviously, sprint cars are very expensive compared to a modified most of the time. But it doesn't cost as much. They don't have to spend as much on tires, and you know.
Yeah, because they're not changing four tires.
Right.
Don't be fooled that they're not spending that much money, because they spend a lot of money prior to coming to the races. You know,
okay.
Those cars break. They have problems. If you notice, they might start. If they start 24 cars or 25 cars, not most of them. Don't get me wrong. I shouldn't have said that. A good percentage of them end up breaking in the amount of laps that they run. Not all the time, but sometimes it's like that. And those cars have expensive pieces on them. To go race anything today and go race for them, their 30 laps, for a late model, 100 laps, for a modified 50 or 100. A modified may as well run 100 laps for what they have to buy, because they all buy new tires. They all got to fill it up with fuel. And what people are, you know, we all realizing, obviously, is that we're pumping fuel into our vehicles to drive on the street, spending what it used to cost us for racing gas in our vehicle. And our racing gas is, you know, $8 a gallon. So, you know, it's going to be a bad thing for racing all the way around. And
well, on those sprint cars, dude was telling me it's easily $200 for one of the rear tires.
Yeah, and you see that they break things every now and then, too, and the wings are expensive.
Oh, David Steele had damage to one of his wings.
It's
for when he collided
with
somebody.
It's definitely, they're a show, you know, and the economy has affected everything. You know, I was just doing these monster truck events, you know, and doing the announcing for them and the ETC promotions, and it was a great event, you know, but there's nobody showing up to the events, you know. You've got, you know, $2 million worth of trucks sitting there to put on a show, and you got less than 1,000 people that show up, you know, each night for these things. So it's definitely everybody's kind of taking a hit, and I think that for the track owner's sake, all I can say is everybody out there needs to definitely go visit your local racetrack, support them. They're dropping the money as much as they can, you know, to still be able to make the payouts and be able to pay the people to work there and make it a decent facility, and which I think all of our racetracks that we've got here in Florida have really nice facilities. The track owners that are running them and promoters today are doing a great job. So, I mean, you were over there. I mean, you see John's
John has a nice track.
Great place.
You know, and it's a shame that more people weren't there to enjoy the sprints and enjoy the facilities Saturday night.
We have Scotty Adamo on the phone. He just bought a sprint car, so he should be able to tell us how much they cost.
All right.
Scott, how you doing today?
Good. How are you all doing?
We're doing really well. Welcome to Inside Florida Racing. I'm Rob Elting, and got CC Brooks here. And
hey, Scott. Nice to talk with you again.
Yeah. Kind of, we only get to go up there every so often, and you know, we try to save our money for the race night. So, you know, we don't get a chance to go up there. Usually, we like watching the open wheel modifieds, but now they race with us, so we can catch both of them at the same night there. So,
yeah.
So you just bought a sprint car?
Yeah, we added a. Right now, we've got four of them. We just bought a 2006 Beast car from a USAC team that was going out of business, and you know, we're kind of outfitting it for the, it's a non-wing specific car. Most of the cars you see in Florida are primarily for a wing, like the ERA, and now with the popularity of a non-wing series getting more and more, we figured we might as well do what the non-wing guys are doing and try one of their cars. So
what are the, can you explain to us some of the costs involved with this new sprint car and getting in for, say, maybe there's somebody out there considering maybe going into the running the sprints. What kind of cost are they looking at?
Well, it all depends what you're looking for. The sprint cars you can get into however much money you want to spend, you can spend it, because, like, you know, we don't, our team is just me and my dad. That's the team. My mom helps doing what she can, and my wife handles all the website work, so that's all, you know, marketing's a big phase of it too. That's a big cost of it, trying to get your name out there. The big thing is motors and the cars, like a complete roller minus the motor. For a brand new car, you're looking at anywhere from $25,000 to $40,000. That's no motor, and I can tell you a brand new motor out of Progressive or Gurdy Race Engines out of Indiana is anywhere from $29,000 to $38,000.
Now you see, Jack, you see why my man down south at Progressive there, he's not worried about these little late model motors.
No, we understand. That's another topic, but I've talked to him since, and he told me all about the boat business, too.
Yeah, so I mean,
I understand that, yeah.
And he's putting together some really nice sprint car motors and stuff that put out lots of horse. What kind of horsepower is your motor put out there, Scott?
When I got it back from, the motor I've got in my car now started out a Progressive, but we're always kind of pinching pennies. We found a guy that does our rebuild. I think the original cost on that motor was $32,000. But the added expenses, what they don't tell you is every season, the compression ratios in the sprint car motor, and the just how hard you run them. I mean, we're turning the motors anywhere from 7,800 to 8,500.
Wow!
How much night
and getting how much horsepower?
Yeah, that just kills a motor. So, but at the end of the year, the replacement cost. I mean, a valve is $160, $140 for the thing.
So if I did my math right, then this past Saturday night when they had 29 cars show up, I'm not sure how many. They started at DeSoto in the TBARA wing sprints, but they probably started, 25 or something?
I think they had 24.
Okay,
yeah,
so 24 cars. There's well over $1 million worth of horsepower running around DeSoto Speedway once they get going.
That's a pretty easy assumption. You know, I mean, there's...
And we're not factoring in the cost of tires
yet.
You're
just thinking about motors.
Or fuel.
You were just counting motors.
Cars and motors, yeah.
Even after the initial cost of the motor, I mean, you've got $60,000 sitting there in equipment. Now you've got a $12,000 a year tire bill to back it up to make, because that, I think my motor dynoed out at 650 horse, roughly 648. So, but that doesn't do you one lick of good if you're not buying tires every week to keep it hooked up.
So the cost factor.
There's another side to this too, is when you take the wing off the car, like this new CFS series at Charlotte County. And I think there's the Central Florida non-wing guys up kind of north Florida.
Mm-hmm.
You take that wing off, that brings our cost way down.
Right. Well, that's a good deal, because that's what we were talking about prior to calling you, is cost.
Why is that, Scott? Why, when you take the wing off, does it decrease the cost of running the car?
Well, it's not that it actually is easier on the tires. It's just when you have a wing on the car, it makes the car hook up and grip so much better that when you bolt four tires to the car, that car is just stuck to the track that much better. And we're talking about, if you replace, you wanted to get off cheap that night and you put a right rear on a wing car. You would get from a 1 week old tire to that new right rear, you're going to gain 4 to 5 tenths at the least. You might even gain more than that. But if you replace the other three tires, you're going to get that extra 1 to 2 tenths. And TBRA and just racing in Florida is so close anymore that you need that tent. You need it. I mean, there's nothing else you can buy on that race car for what those tires cost that are going to give you a tenth of a second a lap.
Right.
But this non-wing series, the reason why it's... I mean, I bought my left front, my right front, my left rear. I bought them in February on the first inaugural race for the CFSS series. February 2nd, and I plan on running them June 7th this weekend.
Yeah, the checkered flag sprint series of races right now, primarily at Charlotte County, non-wing. You'll be there this coming week? Is that the plan?
Yes, yeah. We just got two consecutive top fives, and we bumped back up into fifth in points, so we're hope hoping this is a more than just a lucky break. We're hoping we get our groove back and can start putting this thing up in the top three here every week now. So we're just putting our program back. We had a rough start to the season with two DNFs, which I haven't had a DNF since, I think, 2005. So we're trying to get our program back together. So,
well, before you called, we were talking about the cost of racing today, and I brought up the fact that you guys had a big showing of cars, a full field of cars, when a lot of classes are having a hard time doing that. And my comment was, because you guys have so much money invested in these cars, you guys got plenty of money to race. I know it may not be indicative of everyone in the series, but do you feel that way sometimes when you're at the races? Because I'm a late model racer who doesn't have all the money to have, you know, two cars and three motors and all that. So a lot of times I'm at the races just to have a good time and race. And I don't get overwhelmed and never have with all the other folks that are there with money that they should be racing NASCAR. Do you kind of feel that way sometimes yourself when you're at some of these wing races?
Well, when we go run... We haven't run with the TBRA this year because right now I think it's kind of saturated with a lot of money. I mean, there's about 4 to 5 good teams. If you look at the results, they're consistently in that top five because they have the funding. Everybody's got a good motor. Everybody's got the latest and greatest car. I mean, there's one chassis, a Hurricane, that I can guarantee you the top five. There's 4 out of the top 5 on every night would have one. And so... You know, the separation is the teams that can buy the shocks, and they can buy the tires every night, and that's where the big difference. Trying to keep up with those guys, it's just, like I said, it's me and my dad. My dad's retired, and so what we do. I mean, the car I'm driving now, I've got less than $12,000 in, and I finished third last week and fifth the week before. And like I said, I've only bought 6 tires all year, so
you're having a good year then.
Yeah, I mean, it's all how you spend your money. I mean, I personally like driving the non-wing car because it puts it back in the driver's seat. I don't feel like I'm getting out bucked as much, because when you take 1,000 pounds of downforce off the car, now it puts it back in the steering wheel, not the wallet. So
yeah, you need good parts and pieces on your car when you're running all that downforce. I'm sure they break things, and I just think that I think you're right there. I think as far as the show goes, the fans, they like either one of them. You know, the wings they kind of like because they're flashy and the cars really are loud and they go into the corners a little bit harder. But, you know, when you compare them as apples and apples, they pretty much are because the speed's still there.
I was going to say,
moving out.
Winged or no winged, they're both going real fast, yeah, and very loud. And
when you're driving them, I'm sure there's no difference between the two. When you're in there, you know, it's still fun either way.
Yeah, with a wing, it's more about momentum. You want to keep the motor wound up because that wing will actually bog you. You don't use the brakes a whole lot with a wing, but when you take the wing off, like I said, it comes back to driving a race car again. And like I said, that's what I like. I love driving these cars. I mean, we don't call them fast, we just call them sudden. When you hit the gas, I mean, it wants to go. The car is only built to be fast, you know. It wouldn't be even the dirt cars, whether it's dirt, pavement, whichever, they're just incredibly fast. I mean, they're made to go that fast, and I think the safety in them in the last 5 years has come full circle. I think that's the case in everything, but, you know, we're just, you know, like, but as far as the money goes, I think it would definitely cost a lot more to run versus 100% wing program versus 100% non-wing program. I think it's going to be, with that wing, you're going to wind up spending more money.
How long have you been racing, sprint racing, period?
I've been racing. I started at Charlotte County in 95, so roughly 13 years. And I've been running. I started in TBRA in 01, like a half season. I ran just enough races to where I wasn't eligible for the Rookie of the Year, and then we won the Rookie of the Year in 2002.
What'd you race prior to sprint cars?
I ran at Charlotte County Speedway with the Open Wheel Modified group.
All right.
And for me, it was, you know, apples to apples, because I was used to drive. That was back before they had the, what is it, the Gulf Coast Series motor, I think, was the spec motor that came out. We had just
some kind of thing that probably ruined the series.
No, actually, that was a good thing.
They've changed the rules so much, and what these track owners and promoters don't understand is, my personal opinion is, it costs less to run a sprint car, because primarily you can buy a car today that is built for the rule book that was made. We have not had a major rule change in 15 years.
See, there's a lot to be said.
So over the time period, that's what we were just talking about, Scotty, because, you know, I was talking to Wayne Jefferson. I'm sure you know Wayne. And
actually, he drives for Chris Turner, and me and Chris go way back.
Sure. We were talking to Wayne just recently about the cost factor of racing a modified. And then I was talking with Don Ream today and going into a little detail about the costs of sprint cars. And you might be right. I mean, they don't change the rules a lot. And you don't have to spend quite as much.
Well, I mean,
you gotta spend a lot.
When you make an investment in a car, I mean, who's to say going with the GM crate motors is not a good idea? But why didn't you think of that before I spent my last $5,000 on this motor, which you're going to make totally obsolete, or I'm going to have to weigh 5,000 pounds more? You're going to wind up socking me with weight to where I'm totally not even competitive anymore. Not saying that the spec motor or a crate motor is not a better idea, but there isn't a whole lot of people in this market, in this day and age, in this economy, with the $5,000 to go just stock out on a motor in one shot.
There again, they cost more than $5,000. It's just like your deal too. You got all kinds of stuff you got to throw in there, and you know. What do you think about a crate motor and a sprint car? The fans wouldn't know the difference.
Well, the biggest problem we run into, though, is when you're running a crate motor,
you're running a
sealed system, you know, to where, you know, you can't pull the heads off.
Yeah.
I was only kidding, Scotty.
We've been through the issues with the crate motors and the sealed motors and everything else. And you know what? I think you guys in the sprint cars are the smartest ones out there, because you guys do have the same program going on. And us late model drivers that actually were the racers, we wish that some god would have gotten a hold of it earlier and made some kind of rule book that was correct, and we could still live by it, because somebody did a good job when they made yours, and you guys have just never changed it.
Well, that just did it. I mean, you're mentioning Don Ream, and that's pretty much why we went with the checkered flag series, was we were going to follow Don, because the success you're seeing of TBARA is directly related to the 15 years it took him to get it to where that is. And I know it frustrates Don starting over with this checkered flag series, but we're pretty much just picking it up where he left off. With the other series, the marketing ideas, the fact that let's not be crazy with the tires. Let's not be crazy with the motors. We're not going to go to the big 410 USAC motor because we can. Everybody's got this motor, so let's stick with that motor. And, you know, it seems to be a whole formula that's working right now. So, and plus, you were mentioning earlier, why are there more sprint car races right now? When I went from late models and modifieds to the sprint cars, you're talking about a group of people that are just diehard racers. I know many a team, they work, but they will not retire from their job specifically because they want to go racing this weekend, and you just don't see that a whole lot in many other divisions. These guys have been racing for 40 years, or their teams have been around for 40 years, and that's just what they do every Saturday night, and they're going to continue to do it. So.
Speaking of that, what did you think about the Little 500 this year?
Well, my hero had the pole. Doug Havron's pretty much been my hero since I started racing sprint cars. I met him, actually, he was racing against I just met him at the racetrack. I didn't know a whole lot about him, and I was glad to see he got the pole. And I heard they had a couple tragic moments up there. They killed one of the track workers up there during the race. So I hated hearing that. I've actually run that race in 04, and I plan on doing it again because it's just a ball. I love that little 500. If I could afford to go up there and run it every year, I would.
Yeah, when mustseeracing.com, there's a link to that right on the front page of Karnak.com and also Real Racing USA. That mustseeracing.com did a pretty good video production. Of the whole event. I was watching it last night, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I didn't find out about that until about an hour after the race started, and believe me, that's a great deal for that race. We went in 2004, and supposedly the Speed Channel was supposed to be there televising it, but they couldn't get the funding to air it. You know, I'm sure you guys in your business realize how much, you know, it is to make a television-type show.
Yeah, just jump change, man, jump change.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just, you know, you got to own a late model to know that.
That wasn't even me, but you're right. I was just going to say how much it must cost to do one of these radio shows that we're having you on.
Yeah. No, but that little 500's a ball. I mean, coming from a driver, I do it every week.
I bet.
Being a part team owner, I hate them because there's a lot of tires. Our tire bill in 04 was $4,200 for that weekend.
Wow. Yeah, that's a heck of a hobby.
You need a set of sticker tires to practice, a set of sticker tires to qualify, and then you start off, you have like three or four sets of stickers and...
And a 65-year-old Hoosier up there to pay for it all.
Yeah, and then at the end of the race, they hand you your $1,200. Thanks for coming. So,
well, Scott, you will be racing with the Checkered Flag Sprint Series at Charlotte County Motorsports Park this weekend, won't you?
Yes, I'll be there, bright and shiny with bells on, because I just love racing Charlotte. I've been racing there for 13 years, and everything's happened to work out with Bobby picking up this series, and I couldn't be happier to be racing. I live down in Fort Myers, Florida, so it's 25 minutes from my front door. So.
Oh, well, that's great, and I wish you well. Unfortunately, I won't be out there Saturday night to watch you race because I'm going to be in the Bahamas Saturday night.
Must be nice to have a job.
I'm going to go.
Hot, sweaty racetrack or a sandy beach?
A sandy beach and a cold drink. So I'm going to opt for the beach and the cold drink. But I wish you well at the track Saturday night.
CeCe, can
it. What? Now they're going to give me a hard time because now they know what I'm doing this weekend.
I was going to say, if you miss it, we've got I've got my personal website up with all the race results, and we've got Karnak and everybody else on there for website links and all that. If you don't mind me shooting it out to
them. Go for it, man.
It's Scott Scott Adema ADEMARacing.com, and it's always being changed and worked on, but we definitely want to get it out there. We're just wanting to show people kind of how long we've been racing. This is what we've done. I think we've got some pictures of my dad, and a lot of people around this area know him. He's been racing since 70 whenever. He's 60 whatever years old, and so everybody kind of knows him, and I just happened to jump into the seat. So
well, we wish you well, and I will check out your website when I get back, so I see how well you did this Saturday night at the track. And thank you so much for taking time out and joining us on Inside Florida Racing.
Scotty, take it easy. Good luck. Maybe I'll see you this weekend out there at Charlotte County Speedway.
Well, stop on in, get some AC in the trailer.
Thanks, Scott.
All right.
Bye, Scott.
Have a good one.
So there you have it. Come get AC in the trailer. Those sprint car guys can roll with a little bit of money.
Pretty interesting, eh?
Even the ones that try to act like they don't.
So how much does a sprint car cost with a motor?
With the rig that you're going to pull it in like the rest of them, you need $500,000. Those guys got big money, man. They got big money invested, every one of them. Trust me when I tell you, it is the most expensive racing that is going on. It's not something that you're just going to go get into easily. It's not a beginner's class. I'll give you the disclaimer that they normally give you. It's left for professionals. Sprint car racing.
It's not a hobby.
It's definitely not. It's not a beginner class. When you're out there racing those things, it's for real. Because when you step on that gas pedal and you get all 700 horsepower she's got, I'll tell
it's
you what,
sudden. I loved that. It's
get
sudden.
Up. Some of those bigger sprints yep. got more I'd than that.
Not heard that put quite that way before.
I thought that was a good description.
Sudden.
It's sudden.
Hey, you know the guys over at. Remember we had the guys from Putnam County?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're doing it.
The inmates taking over the asylum?
No, I bet.
You weren't supposed to say that.
I bet.
They're doing it.
That's right? Great.
Are
we going to get an update?
Yeah, it seems
are we going to get an update from them sometime?
Are the car counts climbing? Where's the person?
We need to do that.
Who's in charge? Someone where...
Give out my our
what was the guy's name numbers? That was in charge, Mr.
941-228-8359. Call us. Tell us. If you're from Putnam, got something going on Putnam.
Yeah, what's going on out there?
941-228-8359.
I want to know how all that works out with the guys in charge and that we're putting it all together. And
yeah, but they're doing it.
That's great,
they
man.
I'll tell you what. They're doing better at their media, this little group of guys that just threw this together. They're doing better at their media and getting news out about their track than at least half of the other tracks in this state who still don't have anybody writing a damn race report. And in this day and age...
So we can get a finishing order for a race there?
Silly. Absolutely.
I can get a finishing order for Putnam County Speedway?
Absolutely. I'm looking at it right here.
So how many cars are in their classes and stuff? Let me hear if the car counts have gone up. They had like five. They had like five in each class before.
Let's go to that break and then we'll figure that out while we're on break.
All right, you're listening to Inside Florida Racing. We'll be right back and we're going to find out if the car counts any better at Putnam County Speedway.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Pro Sports Heckler Guy.
Mr. Pro
They say those who can't play, coach. Apparently those who can't coach sit 30 rows back, shirtless, shouting obscenities.
Oh, that's right, motherfucker!
Thanks to you, our team is armed with game-winning tips, like catch the ball and throw it.
Shout it out now!
You stink. That sucks. What a bunch of losers. Not just catcalls, but subtle psychological ploys to prod your team to victory.
Reverse psychology.
So here's to you, old Sultan of Shouting. Because while there may be no I in team, thanks to you, there's always an F and a U. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Are you ready to win? If so, it's time to move up to 5-Star Race Car Bodies. 5-Star Race Car Bodies designs and manufactures the highest quality race car body components. Short tracks, drag strips, road courses, and even in the desert, 5-Star has one driving passion, to help you win. 5-Star Race Bodies designs and manufactures for NASCAR, Grand Am, NHRA, IHRA, SCCA, short track asphalt, short track dirt, USAC, USAR, Hooters Pro Cup, and the ASA Late Model Series. Find out more today, 5starbodies.com.
CarKnight.com, your online racing community since 1997. CarKnight.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than CarKnight.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation,
Carnac
gets it done.
Don't hate.
I don't hate anyone. I'm a lover, not a hater.
All right.
Inside Florida Racing.
Eminence Front.
Like that.
Yeah, I love it. The Who, the Who, the Who. Who is it? It's the Who. And who do we have on the phone? None other than Jessica Simpson. I mean, Jessica Murphy. Excuse me. Jessica Murphy, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now,
welcome.
Welcome to Inside Florida Racing. My name's Rob Elting.
Hi, Jessica. This is Cece.
Let's talk about females in racing. How about that? What are you racing?
Right now I'm racing. And sometimes the truck.
So how do you like racing the late models?
I like it a lot better than trucks. It's a lot faster, and you know, if you get more.
Are you running in the ASA?
No, I've done one ASA race this time, which was that late. And okay.
Jessica, can I ask you if you're on a cell phone?
Am I on a cell phone?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Man, it's going in and out. We're like it's on the cell phone.
A little bad connection there.
Yeah.
We're not hearing any of your answers.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there you go. That's better.
Okay.
Sound like a wire.
So you're running in the ASA series?
No, I ran one Southeast tour with ASA at Lakeland, and I did okay. I didn't do as good as I wanted to, but I tried it.
Now, Lakeland, that's, you know, that's like running at Daytona for late model racers. What'd you think about that place?
I liked it a lot. It was fast and, you know, bigger track than what I'm usually being on. It was a good experience.
Rob, let me remind you something. Remember when we were talking to George Gorham after the big deal? Not George Gorham. Who was the kid? The kid who won the race up at Bronson, the ASA race, Jimmy Lang.
Right.
Remember we were talking to Jimmy Lang? Well, before the race, Jessica, who owned a track record, probably still does, in trucks at Bronson, went out and showed that young man the line around the track. He went out, set fast time, and then won the race. So she knows what's going on here.
Now, how'd you learn that line around Bronson's racetrack? Because it is a specialty.
Well, last year, Jason Boyd was my crew chief. And
there you go.
He's a good driver himself, and he brought me out there. And we walked the track, and I just picked on it fast. And he just came over and asked me if I knew how to get around the track. I said, sure, and he broke the track record with the ASA car and won the race.
Yeah, it's definitely a specialty racetrack, and once you get that figured out, it's always nice to show up at the track and they don't have any practice or anything. Practice got rained out, and you got to go straight to qualifying because you know something that some of the other people don't know.
Yeah. Now, Jessica, how long have you been racing?
I've been racing since I was six.
Did you say six?
Yeah, six.
6 years old. And so did you start in karts?
I started in quarter midget.
So you've always been in some kind of racing vehicle since 6 years old. How old are you now?
I'm 17.
17, so we got 11. So I'm doing math very quick. 11 years of racing. How many years now? Did you just get in the late model this year?
My first race was actually February at Speed Week.
All right, so prior to that, you're racing the trucks. Tell us about your truck racing stunt that you did.
I had over, I think, 5 track records, and I won the championship at New Smyrna.
Wow, that's quite impressive.
Yeah, New Smyrna, now that's another big racetrack. You won the championship there. How many races have you actually raced at New Smyrna Speedway?
Quite a bit. I raced a couple races the year before last year in the truck, just to get used to the truck. And then my dad wanted me to run the New Smyrna series to get, you know, a lot of races under my belt. And I won one and just started winning 8 after that.
Yeah, so is that where you started racing a vehicle at? An actual car or truck was there in New Smyrna?
Yep, that was my home track, yep.
Wow, that's a big home track to come from there. So when you went to Lakeland, Lakeland was just a little bit faster and easier to drive.
Yeah, Lakeland is easy to drive. Yeah, I think it's easier to drive.
Yeah.
Now, Jessica, where do you see yourself a few years down the road? I mean, Do you want to, are you planning just to stick in the late models and trucks, or do you see yourself advancing into another class?
Well, we're thinking about getting a super late model just to start testing it, but I hope I can get picked up by somebody and go farther and farther all the way to the top.
Well, you just need to go convince Jack Roush that he needs a he needs you in his stable of drivers, and he might stick you on your way. There's no doubt that the Truck Series or the Nationwide Series or even the Sprint Series could use a another good female driver, maybe one that can win.
Yeah, I'm hoping. That's my goal.
Well, you got to learn to market yourself.
Yep.
Now, do you have a big race coming up?
Yeah, it's this weekend at Lakeland. It's a 100-lap Goodyear race.
So, I guess you know who Travis Cope is, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be trying to beat you, I'm sure. Have you met him?
Well, I've seen him. I've never met him, like, in person, but I've seen him around.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
I don't think he's going to be there.
Let's see. Now, right now, you're fifth in points.
I was third, and then I had a bad race at Orlando, so it dropped me down to fifth.
You were third?
Yeah, I was third.
Yeah, so now you're still early in the season. You're fifth in points. Not that far. I mean, they're all pretty packed. Daniel Keane, Darren Brown, A.J. Corelli, Jeremy Colangelo, and yourself. And then you got the grizzled gray-haired guy, Joe Winchell, coming up after you there.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. He's helped me at Speed Weeks and trying to teach me some stuff, and so I look up to him.
Yeah, he's pretty smart. He could definitely teach you a couple things.
He's damn smart. He's very smart.
Now,
Jessica, when you're out there, out back in the pits, and you're around the other drivers that are predominantly male, do you find are they treating you with respect and as an equal?
Well, you got in the trucks. It was. I didn't really get that. You know, like some of the guys were like, I didn't want a girl passing me, so they're trying to do everything they can not to get me to pass them. But as soon as I moved up to the late models, like it's like they treat me like I was another guy out there, race me like they would race anybody else.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, you know, as a late model driver, we pretty much race numbers. We don't really care who's in the driver's seat, you know, because these days you never know if it could be a 13-year-old kid driving in there. So, you really never know, and it's usually for me, I find out afterwards. They're like, yeah, there's that kid that was driving hard. It's 14 years old, you know, or something like that. So, yeah, well, that's good. That's too bad they didn't give you the respect in the trucks. But, you know, as you're racing the late models, you'll like them more and more. And all I can tell you is good luck, and I hope that you do well. And like I said, just – continue to market yourself. Make sure you do a good job marketing yourself and letting people know about Jessica Murphy and who she is.
Yeah, I'm trying my hardest.
I got a question for you, Jessica, before you go. Tell us about how big of an influence has your dad been with you, and what kind of what relationship does he have with your racing program?
My dad? Well, he's all about getting me where I need to go. He's taught me a lot himself, and it's all about me now, and it was all about him. Now it's all about me, and just he'll do anything just to get me where I need to be.
Well, all you have to do is win races. Not even win races. Just run up front, run good when you race, and you'll do fine all on your own.
Yeah, I'm hoping.
Do your best, have fun, and stay safe.
Yeah, go show them on. Just go show them on Saturday how it's done. I know you can.
Yeah, I'm hoping I'm in the winner's circle.
Good luck.
Me too.
If you are, we're going to be calling you back.
That's
now.
Right. That's okay? Right. We're going to let everybody know who Jessica Murphy is.
That's right. This is just a warm up. So you go win the race, we'll have you back next week.
I'll be there.
Jack, are you going to be at the race? This
probably.
Week?
Thanks for joining us, Jessica.
Find Jack Smith at the racetrack. Find the guy from Karnak. Find
with the
Jack
long
Smith,
ponytail.
And get
camera.
One of our Real Racing USA stickers and put it on your car.
I'll do that.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Bye, Jessica.
Jessica Murphy, you never know. Keep listening to that name. You know, women in motorsports.
Hey, she could end up as a driver of a month sometime.
Did you see that who's the girl that won in the Top Fuel drag racing yesterday.
I didn't watch any racing.
You know, she's not Ashley Force, so you didn't really hear about it. But
was it Lori Canister?
I think so.
Is this one?
She won in the top fuel class. That's the dragster. Mm-hmm. She won a round.
I have to check on that because it might be Lori Canister because I haven't checked on it. But
I can't remember.
She's somebody who could do it.
Well, it was really great, you know, and. You know, the females are doing really great.
But
speaking of females, who do we have on the line?
Well, actually, you have Mike Bucca from Putnam County.
All right. Mike. Well, good, man. Let's hear about what's going on at the track. Well, we haven't heard anything for, 6 weeks or so.
We were just talking about how you guys are getting it on. You're doing it, and you're, in some cases, doing it better than some people have been doing it for a while.
Well, I mean, we're trying a couple new things here. I know there's a black cloud that's been over this track for a couple of years, and we're trying to get rid of that.
What? Hold it. There's a black car? Is there some guy that's been racing there you're trying to get rid of?
No, nothing like that. It's just the track, I guess, has had a bad name for a couple of years, and it's been through a lot of management changes over the past couple of years. So we're just trying something new here.
Oh, a black cloud. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. I thought you said a black car that we're trying to get rid of.
We've got several black cars up. we're just trying a different approach, and we cut a lot of our gate admissions cut, and we're not offering a big purse like some of the other tracks in the area, but you know, we were up front with the drivers and told them, look, as the cars come and as the more people come, the purses will increase here. I mean, we want to start with a base purse, and we, you know, flat out told all our drivers the purses will never be any lower here. This is what we will pay you for now. And as the cars come, and as the people come, the purses will increase. And we already increased two purses right off from the first week. We increased two purses already. So,
how have your classes grown from, say, I guess when we first checked, they had maybe five cars in a class, and now you've got how many going?
Well, this was our second week of late models, and our late model class, we had late models were off 2 weeks because we were trying to rotate our schedule from a couple of the other tracks, which means we were trying to run late models the weekend that some of the other tracks aren't running them in our area.
Right.
So we had to actually run open wheels two weekends back-to-back. So this was the second race for late models, and the class doubled over the two races that we've already had. We started out with five. We had 10 or 11 already on Saturday.
Okay.
So, I mean, we're averaging anywhere from... This week was a little down because I know Volusia had a big hobby stock race, and that's one of our bigger classes, which the car count was down on that class this week. But we're averaging around 60 cars a week. So, I mean, I really ain't going to complain for being, you know, starting a season late and being new right out of the box. So
how much... How much are you charging your fans to get in to watch?
$7
for an adult.
That's right.
What about for your pit passes?
Pit passes are $25. There's no special fees. You don't have to buy 5 gallons of fuel. It's $25 per person, $25 a race. There's no extra fees. The only extra fee that we have is a driver registration, which we're registering our car numbers. There's been a problem in the past at this track with running classes that had five of the same car numbers running the class. And it's heck on the scores. So, you know, and their W-9s, we have to register them. You know, we do all our taxes and everything. So it's a $25 one-shot fee once you're registered. You don't have to pay anything extra for the season, and, you know, you can race.
Well, $7 to get in for the fans, that's great.
So yeah. How is that? How are the fans? Is there fans there?
We're getting fans. I mean, we're averaging... Right now, about 500-600 in the stands we've been averaging. So
from how many races have you done now?
This was our fourth race.
So from the first day till from last weekend, have the fans count growing weekly?
It seems like it's about averaging. I haven't really seen a week that has really shot up or shot down. It's been averaging about the same. I mean, we really.
But you're averaging 500 to 600.
Yeah, about.
That's wonderful.
500 to 600. We were down last weekend, Memorial weekend, because they have a big Blue Crab Festival over here in Palatka. We kind of were down like 100, maybe 120 people in the stands. But you know, still, we're not complaining. You know, we're keeping our head above water. We're not trying to offer big money-paying races. We're just trying to get into a routine and try and do our own thing here and just be consistent. That's
now, are you planning to race all through summer?
Yes, we are. We're going to race all the way till the end of November.
Okay. Well, it sounds like that it's a good thing if you can keep the lights on. You know, that's the thing. It's going to be tough for all the track owners and promoters to sustain themselves through the summer of a bad economic year. So, if you know, and we've tossed this around with some of the other promoters as far as dropping the prices in the grandstands.
Yep.
To maybe get more people there. Now, do you sell food and beer and stuff there as well?
We don't sell beer yet. We're kind of up in the air. Clarence Smith, who's the track manager and actually the man that's actually footing the bill to get this place open, we're kind of hesitant about getting a beer license right now just because, you know, without the beer license, you don't have all the problems here, you know. So I don't know if we're going to do that yet or not. But we do have a full concession stand, pit in, grandstand side. We also, and we've been taking a lot of heat for it in the last 24-48 hours, we enacted our own website. We started a new website, and the track has sole control over it, and that was a business decision on our part, and that's mainly why we did it. It was something that we had been planning here for the last couple weeks, and finally we got everything, all the bugs worked out, and it's up and running now. So.
And it is called?
PutnamCountySpeedwayPark.com or PutnamCountySpeedway.org, excuse me, .org, not .com. That was the old one. The new one's .org.
Putnam.net.
We have both of them.
PutnamCountySpeedwayPark.org or .net.
Yep.
Okay.
And we own both rights to those.
Well, we definitely stay in contact with us because I know we want to know what the progress is of the track and how it has progressed. Now, we know this is two tracks, Jack, that have done similar things and not necessarily by letting the racers actually have such control, but and initiating certain classes and dropping the purses, talking about Bronson Speedway when they opened back up, just having a few classes. And I think...
If I want to briefly touch on that too. There's been a lot of talk about what we did was we enacted a racers board here. Each class nominated one person from each class here. There is a racer board here, okay? When they have a problem or when they have a discrepancy or when they decide they want to make a rule change or do something with their class, they bring it to the main board after the class has voted on it. What happens then is it's brought in front of the board and brought in front of management. If the board feels that it's something worth changing or taking a look at, then, you know, we discuss it. If it's not, then it gets dropped right there. That's how the board here is working.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people saying, well, you know, that it didn't turn out the way it originally was planned. Well, what originally was planned was the drivers were going to try and put up the money and reopen the track. That didn't materialize. So that's where Clarence and myself come into the picture. And to be quite honest, if we hadn't stepped in when we did, probably in another month or so, Putnam County Speedway was going to be dead for good. And that's the bottom line. That's come from a reputable source. And we really didn't want to see that happen because we're from South Florida and we needed a change. And I think Putnam County as a whole needs a change. And I think I hope we're off to the right steps anyhow and making this thing work for everybody.
What classes are you running?
We're running late model, open wheel modifieds, hobby stocks, sportsmen, pure stocks, mini stocks, and four-cylinder bombers. And what we're doing here is there's actually seven classes that we run on a regular basis. We're rotating two classes, be it either the sportsmen or the open wheels or the late models or the mini stocks. That way we're only running five classes a night. We're averaging getting out of here, being done between 10 and 10:30. And from what I've been told, they didn't never get out of here until 2, 3 o'clock in the morning here. So,
what time do you start?
We start at 6:30 on the dot.
Well, I'm just impressed and so happy for you that you're pulling 500 to 600 fans.
Yep.
That's great. I mean, because some tracks, you know, are lucky if they're getting 200.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's some tough times for everybody.
I know as the summer moves on, we're probably going to fluctuate and it may go down a little bit. But I know you guys have talked to him. I'm pretty good friends with Howie Commander at Lebanon Valley, okay? I had a talk with him last week, and he said that most tracks in the country are averaging right now between 200 and 300 people. So if you're doing that or better, you're doing something good. So we're not going to complain.
Yeah, well, just keep it up. And like I said, stay in contact with us. Let us know how things are going, how your car counts are, how the races are going. If you do have any specialty races coming up, we'd like to know about it.
Yeah,
no problem.
Yeah, we'd had Bill Fisher on a few times as the thing was coming together.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And, he was keeping fans informed, at least from our perspective, keeping fans informed. And a few weeks had gone by, so we thought it would be a good idea to talk to somebody. Glad you called us in, Mike.
Right, and everything that pertains to the track is posted on our new website, rules, points, payouts, schedule. Our rules are similar to Ocala's. And we're going to stick with that for this year. At this point, based on some events, I don't know if we're going to stick with that for next year. But right now, our points and our way our points are going in our schedule and our rules are in place, and that's what we're going to go with till next year.
All right. So everybody stay tuned, and we'll find out. Appreciate you calling in, Mike.
Thanks for joining us.
Anytime you guys want to come up, just give us a shout.
All right,
okay,
we'll do
bye
that.
Bye.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
There you have it. Putnam County Speedway Park.org or
.net. That's great. Happy for them. They're doing so well.
Yeah, they've got things running, back going again, and it's not so much run by the fans. By the drivers. They do have a discussion board in each class, and that, my friend, is something that every local track needs to have. They need to have a representative for their class, and that way they can get together and they can talk about issues that they've got before they even go waste the time to bring it up to somebody, and that way they know if they all get along or not.
Well, before we go and take a break, guys, I just want to let everybody out there...
I'm shaking my head. Hang on just a second. Okay. I'm shaking. He's looking at me like, why am I... I'm shaking my head because... It's such a no-brainer.
Yeah,
you just can't. I just never been able to say, why don't
you? I thought
you
were shaking
this?
Your head because no. I was wrong. I'm thinking, no, I'm right. Because, CC, what always happens, okay? A guy has an idea for his class. Most of the time, it's, I'm talking about for the local, classes. Most of the time, it's something that's going to cost more money that's going to make the car go faster. Well, before they ever even bring it up to the tech man or to the promoter, because the promoter might hear it and go, oh, that sounds like a great idea. And then they initiate it, and half of the people in the class are mad about it. If they would have
had
a meeting.
Just cost them money and everything
right,
else.
Mm-hmm. If they would have had a meeting about it, they could have found out before they even wasted the track owner or promoter's time that it wasn't worth it. And that way, and I think our friend Bobby Deal, I think that he found out how that bit him in the butt right off the bat,
right day one.
Because he guys would come up, oh yeah, that change sounds good, so they initiate changes and then realize that it makes a bunch of other guys mad. So I think Bobby, when he came in, he tried to do the same thing with each class, but nobody ever would step up and try
nothing
to be something. But there was nothing going on then.
Nothing will destroy a class faster than changing the rules.
I think so.
Absolutely.
I think it's something that maybe we need to get the grassroots. Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Bronson went back down to the grassroots, and they just have certain few classes, and they were able to open up and have racing again. And if that's what it's going to take for them to continue to stay open, these racetracks, maybe they only need to have certain classes. Maybe John is only going to have certain classes out there in DeSoto, the classes that are going to, bring the fans.
And you were saying?
As I was saying, I just want, all the drivers out there, team owners, when you are looking to get your fire suits done, when you're looking for your pit shirts, your staff shirts, you want nice shirts for your team to be represented when you all go out to functions, think of fancyworkembroidery.com. You'll find a link to them on our Inside Florida Racing homepage. Fancyworkembroidery.com, they are the ones that handle everything for Inside Florida Racing and Real Racing USA. Besides doing your promotional t-shirt, they have all kinds of promotional items they can do for you, from bumper stickers to those cute little, they look like tires, those little frustration balls. You know what I'm talking about, Rob?
That you can squeeze?
Yeah, you squeeze and work out on. But it's fancy with an I, workembroidery.com. The link is right there on the Inside Florida Racing page.
Beautiful. I want to thank Jack at Jam Racing for taking care of my motor and my race car. I finally got it back might be getting to race on the 14th of June, which would be the day before my birthday.
Oh, good.
But motor sounded real good. Got to hear it run on the stand.
And while we're doing commercials?
Well, you're not on, but 239-369-0900, JAM, Jack's Automotive Machine. Go ahead, Jack.
No.
You're not on.
I know that.
Oh, okay.
It's break time. We'll be right back with Inside Florida Racing.
That's right. More commercials.
And more guests.
More commercials. And more guests. More commercials and more guests. We'll be right back.
Carnac.com, your online racing community since 1997. Carnac.com is racing classifieds, racing photos, racing news, lively racing, message boards, chat rooms, multimedia, and so much more. And if your race team or racing business needs a website, or your website needs a fire lit under it, look no further than Carnac.com. From affordable web hosting to fancy flash animation, Carnac gets it done.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Mr. Professional Movie Extra Guy.
Never in the history of cinema have so many done so little for so many.
Your star.
Anybody can pay $8 to see a movie, but only a true artist can be paid $8 to be in a movie.
Shiny, shiny star.
Snotty lead actors need lines, direction, motivation, not you. You sit on your butt perfectly in scene after scene.
That's Hollywood.
A true pro, you're always focused, even if you're seldom in focus. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Nobody, because you're not just anybody, you're a paid anybody.
I don't recognize
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
This is Joe Irwin.
And this is Wayne Jefferson.
From Jefferson Irwin Racing.
And you're listening to Real Racing USA.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. Don't miss your chance to be a part of auto racing history. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series offers fast and exciting dirt late model racing throughout Florida, Georgia, and Alabama in 2008. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series is coming to a track near you soon. Check it out. UnitedDirtLateModels.com. The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
Sponsored by Central Mobile Homes Incorporated at Central Sheds and Trailers. Homes America.
The United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series.
For our racing to survive, what all of these racers don't understand is we all need to be part-time promoters.
Yeah,
we all need to promote our sport and promote our racetrack, and every other racer I talk to is trying to run his racetrack into the ground and bitching and complaining about everything and bitching and complaining about to everybody that'll listen to him. Well, you know, to me this has got a negative effect that's going to come back and hurt you when all at once you don't even have that racetrack there to race at.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if all the racers would go out and try to promote their racetrack and their sport a little bit more, I'm telling you what, you'd see a whole lot more racetracks that are open and staying open. And it's like I say, maybe I'm getting old. I don't know.
The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
Inside Florida Racing, and we are back. And,
what do you mean you never get a break?
Excuse me. We just had a break.
Excuse me, Cece. He was bitching because, look, he's been gone for a month, and he's bitching because we had a 3-minute break.
No, I have not been gone for a month. Is that the last time that I've been inside this freaking studio?
9 stories up?
I know, I haven't been to the track in Charlotte in a month. I can't wait. I'll be there on the 14th to watch you race.
But this week.
The 28th of April, last time I was there.
It's 4 days. 4 days from now.
4 days from now.
Oh, boy. Ocala. Powell Memorial. This is going to be awesome.
Oh, the big race.
Are you going? You're not going, right?
What is the date
No.
today?
You're going outside.
I'm going to the Bahamas.
It is...
Bahama Mama.
It is going to be probably... Well, not probably. It'll be the biggest event of this year to date. No doubt. In this state. And
who's the driver of the month?
That's something that we have to decide next week. And why don't you guys talk about that while I
our May driver of the month.
Next Monday night. What is the date next Monday? Is it the 9th?
Monday will be the 9th, and I will be coming back that day.
I won't be here on the 9th either, so we're going to have to do something like on Tuesday.
I will try my best to get here.
I won't be here on Tuesday either. I'm not going to be here much next week. I'll be out of my mind next week.
I don't know what condition I'll be in, but I'll try to get here.
We need to do the driver of the month. I guess we're going to do the driver of the month for the month of May on the following Monday because scheduling conflicts are not going to allow. So that'll give people time to send in who they think the driver of the month should be. As we always do every month, we ask you to
we need to put some
stick it on the message board. Carol Wicks always has something up there that refers to driver of the month, and she's listening. I'm sure she'll put something up for the driver of the month for the month of May. We're looking for drivers that race in multiple classes, maybe had multiple wins. Maybe
raced on
won some last month and continued to win mm-hmm. this month. So at your finishing local racetrack,
start in the back, finishing the win.
Start in the front, finish in the back. If you want to send us those, you can. We will ponder those. But
race two tracks in one night or one weekend and finish first at both tracks. We want to know about these guys and gals that are consistently racing well. And doing well.
That's right, at the local racetrack that you're at. Our driver of the month that'll culminate into a driver of the year is open to everyone in every class. So
don't think that
your class doesn't count.
We cannot keep our eye on every driver at every track. It is just impossible for us. So we really do rely on input from racing fans and listeners of Inside Florida Racing.
That's right. These folks that we have on here on the show... There are folks that want to be on the show. If you're a racer and you'd like to be on our show as a guest, we're not out. This isn't a job for us. We do this on our own time.
Mm-hmm.
We just enjoy doing this show and talking to racers out there and getting the word out to other ones. And if you're a racer out there and you'd like to be on our show, contact Carol Wicks and tell her. Give her your name and number. And we will get back in touch with you and contact you about the kind of racing that you do. Because... self-promotion, just a minute ago, we were talking to Jessica
Murphy.
And self-promotion, I tell people this all the time. As I've gotten older, I've realized that the one thing that puts people out in front of others is self-promotion. And
I think we have another guest on the phone, Rob.
A man who might know a little bit about self-promotion. Tell us about self-promotion, Ken Kenny.
Hey, Ken!
I don't know, man. I've done a lot of self-promoting in the past, but for this particular deal that I'm doing this year, I love it, and I love the people that are racing with me and the people that are going with me and making it happen. I'm really enjoying myself with it.
All right. Ken Kenny is, of course, the promoter, the owner, director, and the president and head bottle washer at the United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series, one of the bright spots in Florida racing this year. Ken, you got this humongous event, the Powell Memorial at Ocala Speedway Friday night. How big is it going to be, man?
40 cars plus, again. 40 cars plus. I mean, to be very honest with you, I was taught, Mike, I don't know if y'all are aware of this, if you talked to Mike today, but Mike's down in the weather today. Got a little touch of strep throat, and he's kind of laid up.
Yep.
And on a bad week for him, or a big week for him, should I put it that way. And to be honest with you, I started calling people, and I was on the phone. I said, man, starting out a little slow. I was sitting at 11 cars yesterday, and then I got to 22 today, and I got three or four more commitments tonight, because I knew of some guys that were going to be gone to the Dream. And but some of the big dogs are all starting to call now, so I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be an awesome event, really awesome.
So you got the commitments from the show cats to show up?
One of them, Justin, mm-hmm. Of course, he's leading the rookie points right now.
Yeah.
Justin is committed to be there. And, Jeff earlier in the year, we had talked, me and Jeff, and, him and his dad, they definitely plan on carrying a car over to Ocala, racing Friday night, and then shooting over to Lakeland. But, You know, although I haven't been around asphalt racing much this year, you know, I mean, you guys know better than anybody. Jeff is right there on the top of his game in Florida. And I guess the man that's calling the shots for him, his agent, wants him to totally focus on this asphalt series. And,
I talked to Jeff this afternoon, and he will be racing in the Pass series up in North Carolina this weekend.
Right, that's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep, he won't be there. I heard from Mark Whitener. You know, he's missed a race because, you know, he's running the National 8-Mile Series. He missed the Lake City race, but he's committed to this race. He'll be there. You know, he's still fifth in points.
Ken, when people come up and ask me about your series, they always want to know, they ask me where you guys are racing, and then they always ask me, is Bubba going to be there? They want to know, is Bubba the Love Sponge going to be there racing? And
He can't qualify.
So is he going to be there?
I'm going to tell you the truth, man. You know, Bubba's funny on the radio, but Bubba's a pretty neat guy on and off the radio.
Yeah, he is.
And I've had a conversation with him earlier in the year and a little bit. And, you know, like everybody, you know, where he's been tremendously successful in a lot of areas, you know, over the years, you know, Bubba's fought his weight and stuff, and he's fought his weight down. And when I seen him in Clifton, he just, you know, basically said, hey, you know, I'm going to focus on getting in shape, losing some weight, and feeling comfortable in a race car, because he had put a little weight back on in off season when he wasn't working out. He didn't feel good in the car. And I, from racing asphalt, know how it is to feel uncomfortable in a race car and to perform at the level that you're expected to perform at in a late model, whether it's on dirt or asphalt. I think Bubba's got enough pride and, drive that he doesn't want to embarrass himself in any way, shape, or form. And I think when he feels good about getting back in a car, I think he will. But until then, I think, you know, he'll probably just support Keith quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, Keith is loving it.
What's that?
I said Keith is loving it, getting a nice car to drive. And
yeah.
Well, I know a lot of people.
The man right now, I was talking to somebody, and they were talking to Keith, and Keith said, you remember that show, The Jeffersons, moving on up. He was, you know, in the points. He's up to third now. And, he's definitely going to be a force down the stretch, I'm sure.
Well, I know there's a lot of people at Charlotte who, once they saw that you're bringing the series in July to run on asphalt there, started coming up to me asking me about Bubba, and is Bubba going to be there? And if Bubba's there, will I make introductions? And what they don't understand, I've never even met him.
He's a great guy, man. He's,
you know, I know of
smart.
Him from working in radio, but I've never met him.
He's a very smart guy, and he's enjoyed his different kinds of racing because he's been able to financially afford to be able to race sprint cars and asphalt late models. And he's raced asphalt late models at Ocala Speedway before, because I raced against him one night when he was there. And I think he's really got to live the life. So, Ken... looks like you might need to get something together and at least give him some appearance money to show up and race.
I hear you.
Well,
I need.
Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, I do need to talk to Bob a little bit more. I mean, we did talk quite a bit early, and he's definitely plugged me on his show, you know, the series. And, I've given him many thanks, but I do need to talk to him a little bit. There was a lot of people that went to New Henry County Speedway earlier in the year. That did call me because Bubba was going to be there.
Right.
Car, you know, so.
You've had over 100 drivers racing your series this year.
Yes, sir.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
I am so excited. I mean, just so you guys know, too, man, I took a little sabbatical here for a few weeks away from it just to take a break.
And for them rednecks out there, that means he took some time off.
There you go. But I am ultra.
Was that in Israel? Sabbatical, do you do that in Israel?
Oh, hush, let him talk.
I took it in LaBelle, Florida, for the rednecks listening. Most of them know what LaBelle, Florida is, too. So, you know.
He went all the way over there?
Go ahead, kid.
But I'll tell you, some guys do have commitments from that, the guys that haven't looked on the net yet. But Wayne Anderson's committed, and he has not run my series yet, so he's going to put me higher up in the hundreds. So I'm extremely excited about that. And Gordy Nipper, who a lot of people down here haven't heard of or seen, he ran with us up in East Alabama, and this will be his second appearance. He's a wheel. He's a good driver. And, of course, Richard Pratt's been on a roll lately with a lot of wins, so although Choquette won't be there, the asphalt guys will definitely be there in presence. I have not talked to Bresnahan yet. I actually have never spoke with him. You know, I want to make sure tomorrow that I get his number and give him a buzz.
Yeah.
But all the top guys in points should be there, except for Ivan. Of course, Ivan is getting a car ready for David Ruderman for the Prelude to the Dream, and that was the previous commitment that he had prior. You know.
Let's talk about James Powell. Is he going to be racing in the Memorial?
Man, we pray so. We hope somebody out there is listening. It's been mentioned to me several times from the track, and you know, there's been a few people that, you know, I hate to put people on the spot on the radio. There's been a few people that's got two cars that you know, I put a bug in their ear, and one of them was Kent Corbin, and I think I was going to call Kent, and you know, Shane Williams, the people that he drove with, they sold the car and parted ways. So Shane Williams, usually in a Triple X One, always a tough customer there, will be in one of Kent Corbin's car. And he made his debut up in Golden Isles this weekend, and he was running second, and something broke in the rear end. But he's a, you know, that was one of the cars that we thought about for James Powell, and it's not available now. So I really hope that he does get a ride. I know it's very, very important to him. I dropped a few hints to a few other guys today. I don't know the man, but I do know the history behind this race, and I do know how important it is for him to be in a car. You know, so that's kind of, I don't know right now to answer you correctly.
All right, well, at least we've got put the word out there, you know, that I think somebody should put him in one. He ran on that track when it was dirt before, and, you know, being the Memorial, he's raced in all of them, and I know I raced in a few of those when they're on asphalt, and James was always there putting on a good show, and, you know, Wayne Anderson, he's coming to claim his victory money. So that should be a good show, just to, because that money is going to be pulling at him and pulling at him the whole time, and then that racetrack is going to be pulling him the other direction.
Yeah, it should be a little different this year. I mean, you know, Wayne's going to be tough if he's riding a bicycle, you know, in a bicycle race, but there'll be a bunch of tough boys up front, that's for sure.
You got Ken, in the Rookie of the Year deal, you got Justin Choquette is leading the thing, but of course Josh Peacock's right there with him. You got some really good rookie guys. You got Justin, Josh Peacock, and the kid, Evan Becton, he's just too much.
Yeah, there's one more guy, I'll tell you, all three of those, they're definitely touch, and I have the utmost respect. I mean, I feel if Josh Peacock would have came to Ocala the first time, he'd be contending for the whole deal.
Yeah.
You know, to win it all.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you a little story about the Rookie of the Year. Jeff Conyers is also, in my opinion, the dark horse. He's
fourth.
And Jeff had some really bad luck. He's made every race, but he had some really bad luck. You know, a couple guys wrecked right in front of him, had nowhere to go. But we're only a third of the way through, so I really expect for Jeff to be a factor. And but I want to tell you something really unique. Justin's going to put some space between them this week, him and Evan Becton, because Josh Peacock's bride and Conyers' bride, Jeff, they had other plans way before the season to go to Las Vegas. So these two guys aren't going to be there this weekend.
Why don't they let their women go to Vegas? Let
Holy
the women go.
Cow. Are you kidding me?
Whatever they do will stay there.
Yeah, that's what they say. What goes to Vegas goes on in Vegas stays in Vegas. But the deal with Jeff and Josh though truly believes now, and I'm sincere about this. Josh is pretty humble, but you get him out of his shell a little bit. He really believes he's going to have to drive to his best, but he is committed to run the rest of the series after this, and he truly believes that if Justin don't put a bunch of room between them, that he can catch him. And I mean, so yes, he'll miss this race, but I in no way, shape, or form would count him out. I think it'll put him, you know, driving the rest of the way off the chain.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. I watched, you know, we were a little bit familiar with him from East Bay and some other things, and, you know, watching him, and if it weren't for him missing a race, there's no doubt he'd be right there with the rest of the guys fighting for the whole deal.
You know, he had a shock mount or something break on the rear end of the car up at Lake City early in the race, and I thought he, you know, spun the car, you know, on his own, and which was unlike Josh. I'd never seen him do that. It was a mechanical failure in the car up in Lake City, but he definitely had another top three to top four finish at Lake City. He'd be right there, you know, not only in the rookie points, but even in the major points, even with a, you know, with a race, you know, not going to Ocala the first time. And, you know, there's another tough customer going to be there that put on a heck of a show up at Lake City is Russell Brown Jr. Russell, everywhere I've seen him race over the last 2 years, he's always been a factor in the top five. And Russell, you know, was one of the first cars to commit to this one. And there's one more guy that's a dark horse to me that I'll tell you, he's been a front contender when he's been there at my races, other than a little bit of bad luck. And then he had a little bit of medical problem before the first Ocala race, which is Ryan Mitchell that runs at East Bay. Ryan, you know, signed up to run Rookie for the Year for Rookie of the Year and had a few issues, but I think he may be a little strong here in Ocala. I think he should be a contender, too.
Well, it sounds like you're going to have a full show. I know last time you were at Ocala, it was a great show and a lot of fans in the grandstands. And you guys running Saturday night, this coming Saturday, right?
Friday night,
excuse me.
Ocala's the Friday night track.
That's right.
Catch me up a little bit. What else is going on around the world right now?
There's nothing going on around the world, Ken. Kenny, let me tell you what. You've
it's
got the only
you.
Thing going. You are the most successful promoter and the happiest promoter that we talk to every time because you got car count, brother, and you got good cars. So.
Yeah, the only other class, Ken, that I've personally seen a decent car count in is the TBARA, where they had, you know, 29 cars up at DeSoto Super Speedway. Saturday.
But they run on asphalt, so they can't get no fans. There's no fans there.
That was the sad thing.
I don't understand that either.
Great cars, great race, no fans.
I don't understand it.
Ken, let me...
You know, DeSoto Speedway, though, other than when Tom Stymus had the track and then maybe a few times that I was out of it, you know, maybe doing a little ball or something, DeSoto has probably, you know, always been one of the most beautiful facilities in the South
mm-hmm.
and has never had... it's due with fans.
Yeah.
To be honest, if it had half of what it used to have, it probably would be considered a complete success right now.
Perhaps, there ain't no doubt about it.
I'll tell you something about this car count thing, too. This is a big deal for me. I mean, I get really, 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 really worried if I don't have, you know, close to 40 going in. And this week, you know, we're in the mid-20s, but I, you know, have a lot of work to do in the next couple days, a lot of phone calls to make, and you know, because I don't count anybody on the list until I personally talk to them.
Hey,
they
Ken.
Up, I'm, you know, I'm tickled to death, first one to go shake their hand, but I don't want to blow smoke. But I do believe, you know, my goal definitely is to get in the 40s again, and we should get there. You know, and you know, Mike and Angie, I mean, they deserve everything they get this year after struggling, you know, with the asphalt and the track. And, you know, I hope everything... you know, goes good for them, you know. So
I have a question about the points thing I wanted to get to, Ken. Now, the top three, you got the Kraus, Nosbitch, Sean Smithson, fourth, and Mark Whitener in fifth. And there's about, 160 points, say, between the first and fifth and sixth place guy.
Right.
How does your point system work? With what you have left yet on the schedule? You're not quite halfway through, I don't believe. You're not halfway.
We're only one third.
You're one third of the way.
One third
of the way through the season. How does your point structure work? So let's say, for instance, a guy right now is in. Let's take Justin Choquette. He's in 12th place at 760. He's like 400 points out of the lead. How much of that can be made up? I mean, is it...
All of it.
Yeah, okay.
All of it. If you look, Johnny Collins is a perfect example.
Yeah.
You know, Johnny Collins is a tough customer. And Johnny was 31st going into East Alabama, and I know Johnny's in the top 10. Where's he knocking, 6th, 7th? I don't have it right.
He's in 8th right now, but he's...
Jack's got it memorized.
He's in 8th.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, back to your question about Justin, 400 points represents 40 spots without a win. In other words, the way my deal is, it's 10-point increments. So I always look at it and say, guys, 400 out, he's only 40 cars for the whole year for 10 more races.
Mm-hmm.
So he's only got to really make up...
Four cars a race.
I mean, to
I'm an auctioneer.
Know. Now, is that guy, you know, a dark horse to win it all? Yeah, probably
sure.
So. But is he a top three to top five? I feel Johnny Collins, without a shadow of a doubt, for one, will be in the top five before this thing's over.
Shane Williams.
Oh, yeah, Shane's a factor. You know, Shane's only issue has been inconsistency of a ride, you know, of being there, you know.
Right.
Shane's, you know, very good. Where I don't know where Josh sits right now, but I think Josh Peacock will be a top 10 for sure. And
yeah, he's in 14th.
The winner of the whole thing will be Sean Smith.
So now we'll be throwing this one out on the internet, too. People will be able to listen if they can't get there on Friday night for some reason. We'll throw that out on the internet. Rick Angies will be there announcing and whatnot. Let me ask you this before we let you go. I know you got you're a busy, busy guy out there.
Oh, you're good, man. You're good.
But let me throw this out there now. You started this whole experiment for this year off at Ocala a few months ago.
Yes, sir.
How has it changed, man? Where have you gone in that time from now to then?
On vacation.
I think we've worked a few kinks out. You know, I mean, I've gotten used to the people that are around me. I think the broadcast is, you know, gotten better and better. I think Bob Culberson's videos have really picked up, meaning to the fans. See, it's not all, you know, to me, what I see is the series changing, but also broadening for the future for a fan base, and also for which brings sponsorship to the deal. And, you know, I see a huge pickup in sponsorships even since the last race. I mean, huge opportunities. I've been contacted from a few national companies, and there's one that I don't even want to breathe on the radio yet until it hits, but it could be huge. And, you know, they're getting it because of the car count, you know. And what's changed, in my opinion, is people didn't know who I was that were on dirt. I showed up at a dirt track last year for the first time since I was a kid. I'd been around racing, you know, my whole life, but a dirt track, it's been many years. Racers with racers, and you guys know it, you've got to earn a trust because they don't trust you by nature, and until you earn the trust. And you know, as a former racer, I think sometimes that's you know, that's justified. And what I've seen about the series is they've begun to trust me. They've begun to trust my employees, my tech man, and you know, this is the biggest change that I've seen is the trust and stability of the series. That they, you know, there's been guys that started series before that had great car counts that ran off with the money, and you know, that's not the case. You know, with me, I'm not motivated by the money of it. I mean, you know, if I make a few bucks someday, fine, so be it. If I don't, fine, so be it. I mean, I want this to be the best dirt series in the Southeast, if not one of the best in the country. And that is my goal, you know.
Ken Kenny, United Dirt Late Model Challenge Series. We'll see you Friday at Ocala, man.
Take care, guys. I really appreciate everything you guys do for me.
Bye, Kenny.
Take it easy.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, there you have it, Ken Kenny with the, I wonder who the sponsor is. I wonder if Lucas Oil's been calling him, one of them.
United probably Dirt one of them big.
You guys want to talk to Rich Pratt?
That would be a big, huge coup.
Oh, man, that's
coup.
The thing.
That would
you,
be
you
awesome.
Have, you have those, you have those car it. Counts. You have car counts constantly, and all those higher-ups, they start seeing dollar signs, yep. And I hope Ken turns them all down and keeps the series like it is, and that way it'll stay
Kenny
good.
But Kenny deserves that. He's worked very hard, and he deserves that kind of recognition and support. And, yeah, let's talk to Rich.
Tell you what, let's take a break. We'll be back.
You're listening to Inside Florida Racing. We'll be right back with
on
Rich
Real
Pratt,
Racing USA.
The Wheel Man.
Are
we're back with Inside Florida. Oh, thank you.
What's that on-air station you work for?
Kicks Country 92.9.
Yeah, well,
and when are you on?
I'm on from 10 to 3.
That was from Way Out There.
Monday through Saturday.
He used to be on a show. He was just,
We used to be on together on WCCF.
He used to be the house doctor.
The house doctor, that's right.
Now he's the job, find me a job doctor.
It's not very nice, Jack.
It isn't, but you know what?
Let's talk to one of your friends, Rich.
Rich Pratt, the wheel man. What's up?
Hey, Rich.
Working man right now. Not much of a wheel man, but we're working.
Working. Now, listen, I want you to sound a little more fired up. We got the big James Powell Memorial coming, and I know if there's anybody out there that's run quite a few of those James Powell Memorials,
it's the Powell Memorial.
Well,
drop the James. It's just Powell.
You guys leave me alone. Rich,
on Rob Knight.
you got to be kind of fired up, and also for retribution of the night that you had to cast your steering wheel away from yourself last time you were there in Ocala.
That was a great
night. Are you ready, son?
Yeah, absolutely. We're preparing sort of special, I guess. I don't know. We're just trying to be on our A game. That's what you got to be. I think this is about our ninth one. We finished second and third a few times, and we've been close, man. So it's the most important race of the year for me, that's for sure. So, looking forward to it for sure.
Now, we did, Jack did pay Mike Peters some money to discard that tractor tire from the direction of the straightaway. So
he ain't gonna leave you alone with that, Rich.
You'll be glad to know that. I was just upset that night, Rich, just like you. If I'd had a steering wheel, I'd have been throwing it too, because yeah. I was pretty mad about how that played out, because we had talked earlier in the night. And I told everybody in the grandstands around me, watch out for the Joker.
The steering wheel incident came after Michael Cherry started driving his car towards him.
It had to do with the tractor tire.
That's what started it, yeah.
Combination of things. You know,
how many times have you hit that tire?
Well, I'll tell you, I've raced there for a long time. It was the first time. And one thing about those tires is you don't graze them. Either you hit it and you tore your stuff up bad, or you missed it. One of the two. There's no bouncing off of that thing. And, the way it was, you kind of had them out there. You know, those dirt cars, you got a left front tire about a foot off the ground. Well, the fender's about 3 foot off the ground. And you're sitting over there and you're driving along and you lose sight of stuff when it's about 20 feet away from you. And I got pinched a little bit there and clipped the tire. And, you know, just kind of worked out to where when I finally came to a stop there, I'd thrown the steering wheel out the window. So it was a crime of opportunity, I guess you should say, because I got out of the car, see my steering wheel laying there, figured I better pick it up, and I picked it up probably at an opportune time there. And, what can you say? I mean,
Ken should have paid you that night. Good money. That was a good show you put on.
Oh, it was great. us fans in the stands were loving it.
We're passionate about it. We all, you know, every one of us out there are passionate about what we're doing, and we're giving 100%, you know? And, it's just, you know, you get, I say, tunnel vision a little bit, you know. You just, it's no different at any level of racing. And
it was evident.
I'm not real proud of it, but, it is what it is.
It was evident you didn't see it. But you're right. You got that tire so far jacked up. CeCe, I'm going to tell you how good my memory is. You know, we were talking about Bubba the Love Sponge a minute ago, racing out there on the asphalt in a late model when I raced against him. You know who won the race that night when we were there?
Who?
Who won the race, Rich Pratt?
You
did.
I don't know. You tell me.
Rich Pratt won the race that night when Bubba was there racing on the asphalt.
Okay.
Isn't that weird? What a coincidence.
Rich, how long have you been racing both dirt and asphalt?
I started racing asphalt in 96, and I raced asphalt from 96 until 07. So that was 11 years. I actually started on the dirt and street stocks and such, never a late model in Hawaii, believe it or not. I was in the military, and they had a little quarter-mile dirt track over there, and we used to race some junkers over there, for about 3 or 4 years. So
I could see you out there now.
In Hawaii?
Yeah.
Did I get that right? Hawaii? Or
believe it or not, yeah.
Wide open, just running those things for everything they got, whatever he was racing.
I'm going to promise you, I don't know. We work really hard. I'm very fortunate to have the sponsorship and the backing that I have these days. And man, I swear to you, I used to get paid $287 every 2 weeks now. Now, remember, I didn't have any rent or anything. Don't misunderstand. But we used to raise street stocks off $287 every 2 weeks. That's a fact, man. We had a freaking 1970 Chevy Blazer and a single-axle trailer with no fenders on it and a dirt street stock. Now, I was about 18 or 19. And sometimes you look around these days and see what everybody's got, and you're just like, man, it's a long ways from there, you know?
Well, you never forget where you come from.
No, yeah, it's very fortunate. Yeah, very fortunate to be blessed with all the things in life that I've been, you know, that's for sure. And, you know, these memorial races come around, and, you know, the racing is so important. And it just, but it becomes, as I get older and I'm a father now, and you just start looking more at the big picture, and it just brings everything into perspective that, you know, hey, let's go race, let's give 100%, we want to win. I want to win this deal bad as anybody, but, you know, you think you're having a bad day, and then you look at maybe, you know, some other people's circumstances that they've seen in their lives, and you realize you're not having such a bad day when you hit the tractor tire. You know, you think that's the end of the world, and, you know, at the time and stuff, and then, you know, you get these kind of deals. We were fortunate enough, we won the Scott Thompson Memorial at East Bay a couple weeks ago. And
oh, that's great.
Familiar with that story, that's just one of those instances where, you know, you think you're having a bad day, and then, you know, you look at that situation, or you know, I don't know, I'm not trying to over-dramatize.
No, you're absolutely right.
That's what it's all about. You know?
You're absolutely right.
I think he's right.
Exactly. Last week on this show, Rich, we had Joe Lineberrier, of course, told the whole story of the Scott Thompson thing, remember, CeCe?
Yep.
And I'll tell you, it's like you were saying, I mean, no matter what, you know, think about the things that James Powell has had to endure, and you know, I know you admire him, and we all do, and he's one of the treasures of this sport, as far as I'm concerned, in the state of Florida.
Well, you know, you just look at what he's contributed on both sides of the fence. That's, you know, a lot of things that, you know, I mean, from the promoter standpoint, from the racing, all his racing accomplishments and his family's accomplishments, Florida racing, and then, you know, what he's been through in life is, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, just, it, you know, like I said, it's just one thing I hope that doesn't get lost in all the, you know, all the hoopla, if you would, about, you know, these kind of deals, that I hope that at least it makes everyone realize what's really important, you know, and, you know, that's the bottom line. We, like I said, I want to win this thing worse than in the worst way, but, you know, God forbid, you know, I don't have the greatest night, you know. You got to keep everything in perspective. So it's very, very special race. It's the biggest race of the year at my home track. You know, that's the bottom line. It's the race to win at Ocala Speedway, and has been for 12 years.
Right.
And so, you know, I walk in that office a lot, and you see that plaque there, and it's got, you know, your James Powell was one of Citrus, but, you know, you've Wayne on there, I think, about 100 times, don't we?
Yeah, he's coming to try to claim his money, too, so.
I think he's coming to try to win his 99th Powell.
Yeah.
He better bring something pretty good to get this one, though.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just, you want to add your name to that when it's
sure.
Track, man, that's for sure. So.
Yeah.
Did you never win that race?
No, I finished second. I finished, the best I've ever finished was second, and that was to James Powell at Emerson.
Yep.
That's the year that he won, I finished second. I finished third two times that I know of. One time was to two very, very good friends of mine, Patrick Williams,
right,
and Scott Grossenbacher, who are two of close friends. One year we had a Florida Pro out there, and I finished third, and guess who finished one too? Wayne and Dickie Anderson.
All right.
So, you know, it's kind of like, man, you know, I felt like I was on my game that night. Still got my butt whipped, so.
Well, look who you got it whipped by.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Some veteran butt whippers.
Like, man, my car was driving good, and I had really good lap times, and I still got beat by two other cars, so. But it was by Wayne and Dickie, so, what, you know, what are you going to say? And that was one of Wayne's many, so. But this year, they put, you know, a foot and a half of dirt on the plate, and, I think that's going to change up a lot of things for a lot of people, and you know, we've been running real good the last couple weeks. Ocala hasn't been our strongest point, unfortunately, here lately, but maybe this is our week, you know?
Now, you won't be, obviously, I'm not saying obviously, but you won't be at Lakeland for the big deal there in the Sun Belt, right?
No, I don't really have any of that equipment left.
Okay, that's what I was getting at, is that, do you miss not racing those asphalt races? I mean, those big deals like at Lakeland and those big asphalt races?
Man, I'll be candid with you.
Please.
I miss my friends, your Tommy Sitzmas and Brian Finney's that are still my friend. Don't misunderstand. They're still my friends, but I miss being able to race with them, you know, and hang out with them over the course of the weekend. But, you know, to be perfectly honest with you, that's pretty much the extent of it. We're enjoying the dirt a lot. We're spending a little less money at it. I'm not going to go and say that it's free and it's cheap, because it's not, but it's a little bit more financially enabling, and it's a new thing for us, but I feel the racing's a little better at times, and to be honest with you, it's really, you know, my wife said it too. She said, you know, I just miss seeing our friends, and other than that, you know, I'm kind of 100% dirt at this point.
There you go.
He's dirty all the way down, right? Yeah, down to the ears.
It's definitely dirty. You know, my dad told me, well, you got to wash it all the time. I said, yeah, but I'll never have to paint it.
Yeah, but he likes to wash it, don't he?
No, nobody washes it but me.
Oh, okay. That way nothing gets sprayed down in the engine. It don't run funky.
So now, but down to brass tacks here, this race coming up Friday night is going to have some hellacious talent in it. Going to be tough.
Absolutely. That's one difference too that I'm experiencing. The dirt, some of these bigger races we've run are the only times that I'm a nervous freaking wreck before my heat race, and then I'm perfectly calm before the feature. Usually in asphalt, it's sort of the opposite. You know, you're pretty calm before your heat, but you may be pretty nervous before the feature, but a lot of times, you know, when you're rolling in these places and you got 50 cars and you got 24 that are going to make the field on time, 26 guys are going home on the trailer. And, you know, you get some pretty good cars going home on the trailer. And so, you know, quite frankly, you know, when you're sitting here on Monday night, you know, even my good friend Patrick Williams, he come and lettered my car tonight, and we both talked about he gets around here good as anybody, I can assure you, in a dirt car. And we're both talking about how we just really hope to get in the show.
Yeah, you don't take anything for granted here.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
We know that whether we're in the show or not, we're going to look down that pit road, and we're going to see two or three really good dirt racers putting their cars in the trailer before the feature, and that's just the way it is, unfortunately. Right. But it's fortunate and it's unfortunate, and so you got to crawl before you walk, you know? And so that's the first thing, is we want to go and get in the show, and if we get a good starting spot, that's better to boot. And once we do that, then we'll focus on the feature.
That's the difference between asphalt and dirt late model racing. If you want to guarantee yourself to be able to race, just race asphalt, because there won't be enough cars for a second feature.
That's unfortunately the truth. I mean, you know, you go to a lot of those races, and you know the thought of not getting in the feature is pretty unheard of.
It used to be the other way.
Hey, Rich, how long have you known Rob Elting?
Oh, I've known Rob forever and ever.
Long time.
I'm really sorry. He's
a wonderful guy.
I'm telling you, this guy,
man.
He's driving us crazy.
Oh, I used to like racing with Rich, and his dad's a character, man. Rich dad's a character.
Good time with Rob and stuff. We used to go to Lake City, Florida Pros. I'm talking freaking almost 10 years ago.
Yeah.
He's my friend. And you know, we'd go up there on practice night, and you know, we'd do the race stuff, and I believe Rob and I came from dead last in one of those 200 lappers one night or one day there on a Sunday, dang near all the way to the front together. And
that's right.
Remember that race?
I do, man. Lake City was my place. If I was ever going to win one of those big ones, it was going to be there. And I tell you, I'd lead them, and I'd break, or I'd those 200 lappers on the afternoon. That's something we could do a whole nother show about.
Oh, they were great days back then. They really were. We enjoyed it immensely.
You know? I did, and you know, James Powell was always part of that. You know, thinking back, you know. People, you need to go to the James Powell or the Powell Memorial, and if you get a chance to, if you've never met James Powell, go up and shake his hand, and you'll see that he's just a normal, everyday guy who's gone through hellacious tragedy in his life. And I think that Rich said a lot there when he said it's important that people not forget really what the Powell Memorial is all about. I know it's jumped from track to track, and we talk about these guys winning it, and Wayne Anderson coming down here and are always taking the money. And I think it's a great time for fellowship and social time. But again, it's serious, and I think every time that James does go to this race, it obviously brings it back every year. So definitely a race to go to. And
yeah.
Rich, I hope that you win, son.
Well, I appreciate that. And on a little bit of note of what you're saying, if you're thinking about going to the Powell, if you've been around racing for a long time, one thing about the Powell Memorial, is one of those races when you go in the pits, if you've been around for a while, you will see so many people that you haven't seen in forever.
Right.
I mean, everyone in racing goes to that race every year. I mean, everyone you know will be there. So many times I'm sitting in the pits at the Powell and I'll see somebody or talk to them or just see them walking by and be like, there's such and such. I haven't seen them in forever. Probably the last year's Powell is when I saw them. So, you know, I encourage everybody to come out, you know, and support Mike at Ocala Speedway. He's really been doing well for the place. Support James. Support the race. And, you know, like I said, if anything else, I think you're going to see some great racing, but if anything else, you'll see probably a lot of people in racing circles that you haven't seen in a long time, that's for sure.
It will be a race to see, I will say that.
Absolutely, and we sure hope to be part of the show. So,
don't worry. Don't get too excited. Don't get too keyed up.
No, that's the worst thing you can do.
I think you and Patrick will both be in the show. And listen, Rich, take it easy. Appreciate you coming on with us in Inside Florida Racing.
Have a great race, Rich.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks a lot, Rich.
Bye-bye. Look forward to seeing y'all.
All right. There you have it. Rich Pratt, the Wheelman. Man, it's going to be a good race. You think about all this talent that's coming, and the Wayne Anderson. Throwing Wayne Anderson into the mix.
I like that, man.
Hey, is that for Scotty's show? Scott McAllister's show?
Yeah, that was just a little hint that at the conclusion of this show, mm-hmm. we're going to replay last week's show, which had Steve Casebolt, who was the Lucas Oil Dirt Late Model champion and won the $100,000 dream at Eldora last year. And so he's a guest, and also East Bay Late Model racer Tim Gay. And that's following our show tonight.
Okay.
Scott McAllister's Southeast Dirt Weekly is on every Thursday night, 7:30 to 8:30, and it's getting more and more people paying attention and listening. And there was I told you guys, I think I was off the air, but there was a lot of people sent us emails last mm-hmm. week wanting Scott to extend the show for a longer time. And Scott's going, man, it's hard enough to do an hour. It's tough doing this.
Yeah, it's hard on him because that's a fake voice that he does instead of doing his own voice. That's a made-up voice that you hear. That's really not Scott McAllister, is it?
So, now, let's get down to brass tacks here.
It's hard for him to do that for 2 hours. So, Cala Speedway, and you're listening to, what's the name of the show?
Southeast Dirt Weekly.
Southeast Dirt Weekly.
Oh, my
Scott
goodness.
McAllister here.
Bonehead. He's
thought
so
that I'd step
contain.
In. CC, how you doing? Rob, how you doing?
Hey,
glad
Scotty.
You guys could have me on and let me talk about what's the show called again?
Did we ever tell anybody where the drunken announcer thing came from?
No, just let them go to Ocala Speedway and figure it out
Speedway,
themselves.
You'll find out.
I'm just kidding. Scott McAllister, he's the announcer of Ocala Speedway. He does a show on Friday night.
Thursday nights.
7:30 to 12:30 now, because he's going to do 3 or 4 hours because he's so famous. Tuesday night show has got the announcer for Ken Kenny's late model deal.
Rick Angies.
He does USA Real. Jesus, I've lost my mind.
It's okay.
Real Racing USA.
Okay. Hey, Rob.
There's so many shows and so little time.
Just slow down. Take it easy, man. Relax. Listen, what do you guys decide? Now, you're not going to be able to be in the studio next week.
Next week I can't be here because if I told you where I was going, you guys are laughing.
We won't
Disney World.
You're going to Disney World? Yeah. Oh.
I've got to go from the 9th to the 11th because my sister's coming down from California.
Ride the Winnie the Pooh ride for me. I love that ride.
That sounds really good, Rob.
I mean, I had to go there before. I got blisters on my
feet. You know, I go to Key West. You go to the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. He goes to Disney World.
Hey, I love Disney World. I don't think there's anything wrong with going to Disney.
I'm not really that excited about it, but I'm going to go and...
I'm having myself a Bahama Mama weekend, leaving the men and
but,
children
But
behind.
I really got to get to this now. What,
okay.
We got to figure out... maybe we'll have to do the show differently or something. I don't want to wait 2 weeks, but we got to come up with the driver of the...
we already said that we were going to do it
we'll
the
know
next
it.
Monday because
we'll know
it'll
in 3
give
days.
Some time. It'll give us some time to...
We'll know in 3 days?
3 or 4 days, huh?
Yeah, I'm sure that we will, but
I'll figure
back
it out.
Thursday
okay.
next week. We can't do a show on Thursday because of McAllister's deal. So.
Oh, no, we're not preempting Scotty. No. I mean, that ain't going to happen.
No, he's... Well, we don't want to upstage.
He has too much clout.
Yeah, he's too many listeners.
Okay, so then
maybe we'll let
of the 9th, we're going to announce
listen,
the winner, what, the
next
following
next Tuesday,
Monday?
You're going to announce the winner next Tuesday. Angie's is going to announce the winner on Tuesday.
Maybe Rick and I'll do the show next Monday night inside
there
Florida Racing
well,
next
you,
week.
Yeah, he owes me because I had to do it for him one night.
That's
so.
Right.
Because I come back. I will be back that afternoon.
On Tuesday?
On Monday.
All tan, all over?
Yes.
We'll figure it out. Meanwhile, tonight we talk to...
back at the Batcave.
Yeah, we talk to Rich Pratt, Ken Kenny, Scotty Adema. Jessica Murphy. I'll tell you what. She really does have as good a chance of winning that race up there at mm-hmm.
Listen,
Lakeland as anybody.
I want to hear that she won the race. That'd be good for women in racing everywhere.
Melanie Troxell. Just to finish that up, Melanie Troxell, if you go to Melanie Troxell on Google, you read all about her, lots of pictures. And for you Google guys out there, there's some good pictures of Melanie Troxell. She's the one who won.
No, she's not the one. She's running in funny cars now.
No.
She's not the winner that won in Top Fuel in
the... You sure?
In the NHRA.
Are you sure about that?
Because the girl's name was...
she is.
It's another young girl. I thought... Melanie Troxell got...
May 23rd. Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Say it again.
Melanie Troxell, I'm telling you.
She won what class?
She was to become the latest... let me see. She won in Top Fuel, I'm telling you.
Okay.
Bristol, Tennessee. Is that right?
Well, last week wasn't the 23rd, was it?
No.
3 weeks after the NHRA crowned its first female funny car winner, Melanie Troxell became the second funny car.
Right. Top Fuel last week. Top Fuel last week was run by a different female even. So, yeah, that's... So the females are winning all over was my
point. Yeah, I mean, just a funny car. And, I mean, come on. They're only Ashley Forrest
won it first, and then she's come back now and won it. And now this other girl that's running in the Top Fuel, I can't think of her name, and of course we'll get it.
Well, I'm standing by my statement. It was Melanie Troxell until somebody proves me differently.
On the 23rd, she won in Funny Car. I was talking about last weekend in Top Fuel.
That's what I'm talking about.
What was last weekend, the date?
Well, the 31st.
There you go.
He's talking this past Saturday.
And the first was Sunday. I think the finals were run on Sunday.
When I was up at DeSoto at the drag strip right next to it, they had quite a bit of the many of those drag strip drag cars were there. And so I was
watching some
of them.
Is it amazing that they get there in the afternoon and they're there? They're there from noon until 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, they were having themselves a good time over there. But so I guess we'll be checking message boards and emails and track sites and gathering data for the May Driver of the Month.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, it's really tough. There's so many, you know, Volusia, they got 2 or 3 guys over at Volusia. They got guys over at New Smyrna that can't lose. They win every race. But I'll give them this. At Volusia, they got a couple of guys over there winning almost every race in their division. And there's a lot of cars in their division.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing. So I guess
Hillary Will added her name to the list of professional winners when she defeated Larry Dixon in the Top Fuel final.
Hillary Will.
Hillary Will.
Hillary Will.
Hillary Will.
Don't type in Hillary because
John Force actually won his round, which was big news for him because he crashed, you know, had the big crash.
We stand corrected.
So he can win again. That was a big thing in the celebration. He's like, I could do it. I told him I could do it. I told him I could do it. I did it. It was fun.
Yes, we will be doing a show next week Inside Florida Racing because we will, of course, we're going to do coverage of the results of this weekend.
Okay. So send in. Well, who do you think the winner should be? You need to send it to.
If you have good news, you send it to. Feedback at realracingusa.com. If you have bad news, bad comments, you want to tell us how we suck, send them to
robelting@aol.com. I want to hear it. I don't care.
Oh,
robelting@aol.com.
I'll get back from my trip on Monday afternoon, and I'll find my way here.
CeCe, you've been picked on enough. We're going to give you some time off from being picked on. You've been picked on.
Speaking of trips, Jack has been tripping since 1969.
68 and a half.
That's a long time.
We're going to do the St. Pete Boogie.
It's a long time.
Good night, everyone.
Speaking of the St. Pete Boogie, when's that Sunshine Speedway reunion?
The 28th of June.
It's coming up.
Yes. Yes, the 28th of June. We'll talk about that.
You know, the good thing is I get my $600 from George W. on the 27th. Ha-ha! You gotta love it!
You haven't gotten yours yet?
No, because if you turbo-taxed, it became one of those issues where you don't get it in your bank account. You get a paper check.
Oh, I got mine a long time.
And because of the last two numbers were so high, the 27th of June, I'm getting my 600.
I guess I have the right number. Good night, guys.
Did he sign it, George W. Bush?
I'm gonna jump until I fall.